time now for Inside the Huddle on WILO, hosted by Ken Hartman. This program will focus on area schools and all the sports they have to offer. Ken will speak with coaches and players across the region. Your participation is encouraged. Call now at 659-3338 to discuss local or statewide sports. Inside the Huddle is brought to you by Tony Theofanis, State Farm Insurance, and Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Now here's your host, Ken Hartman.
Good Saturday morning to you, and welcome to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agents, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. I'm your host, Ken Hartman, and believe it or not, we are having a Inside the Huddle show this morning. Even though there's no sports going on anywhere, we're still going to do this. Being joined by my partner in crime for this show again today, Don Stock. Don, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Ken. Thanks for inviting me.
Not a problem. I mean, everybody says, well, what can you talk about? Well, there probably is a lot we can talk about. It may not be all sports, but, you know.
That is true. I mean, I don't know if there's a lot going on in the world, but there's at least one thing that everybody's talking about, the coronavirus.
Yeah, it is. It's
killing everything.
And there are still events going on, as we were just talking. You know, Nebraska just had a state title decided. They had their just immediate family and those things, and that was just taken care of. So, does this remind you a little bit of after what happened at 9/11, as far as nothing was held for about, what, 2 weeks, if I remember correctly?
Yeah. I think for me, the better grip for me is the ice storm. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the ice storm. Not too many people out and about, and everybody's hunkered down and in the evening time. And so I probably relate more to that, even though I do remember the 9/11 issue too. I think the ice storm is for me more memorable because I was a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I know that I think we had one back when I was doing. Of course, I wasn't here at the when this ice storm, but when you're talking about it happened here, but I was a part of one too, and we didn't do anything for a while either. So that's I know I've been at least part of one of them, maybe two of them over in Illinois.
You know, I was at Ellis Jewelry this week getting a battery for my clock, and we brought up the ice storm and the fact that, you know, when everybody was out of electricity, everybody was enjoying it for the most that you can enjoy something like that. I mean, WILO was the station to listen to. Mm-hmm. Everybody listened to the Gong Show in the evening. But you know what? As soon as that first house got electricity, then everybody started getting mad because it wasn't them, it was somebody else.
Right.
Kind of like what's going on now, and the fact that we're out hoarding toilet paper and soups and all the other stuff. As soon as something comes in, we're grabbing it and being self-centered, that's kind of a sad thing to be.
I just really wonder why people want to put tons of toilet paper in their garage for. I'm just trying. I know, so, you know, at least 200 people are doing that. And I'm just going like, okay, what's really going on here? I mean, does that mean in case we are not allowed to get out, period, which we haven't gotten to that yet, and
right.
Thankful that we can't. That hasn't happened yet. But, you know, what do you do with all this? Because this stuff doesn't do that. You don't need it for that reason.
Well, you know, the normal stuff that we hoard are eggs and milk and mm-hmm. bread.
Right.
So we can make French toast. now it's toilet paper and, I guess, soups. My wife said that mm-hmm. the soup lines are down. Of course, everything that's good for you, the vegetable menu, you get plenty of vegetables. Nobody's
doing
those,
that. So. I was over at Meijer yesterday afternoon. Of course, anything with toilet paper, paper towels, Kleenex, that was gone. But the surprising part to me was how vacant frozen foods were.
Oh, wow.
It was completely, with the exception of a handful here and there, that was gone. That was gone. You know, and then also, now last week, the lunch meats were all gone. They're full now again. So, but I give Meijer credit for one thing. They marked everything way down to sell everything out so they can put it fresh in stock.
Well, that's probably a good idea now. I mean, that'll go well.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking before we came on the air a little bit about this, and I hope anyway, that if we get anything out of all this, that it's the ability to take care of each person, not only ourselves but everybody else, and and look after. I mean, I woke up this morning thinking, you know, it might be a pretty nice thing to do. I know Altie's is out delivering food mm-hmm. or groceries, and go out and see if they need volunteers to do that type of thing, and to make sure that our older families are being taken care of, and so maybe that's something that people should think about, maybe volunteering some. I'm heading to the Boys and Girls Club this morning. We're packing lunches for the mm-hmm. for the kids, and look forward to doing that.
I don't know if you heard a couple of things. Actually, this was Wednesday's show. I was talking with Al Romaley from Central. You know, the number of kids who need food on a daily basis, you know, it's an amazing number. It's 30 million. And, you know, I'm just like, I knew the number was high, but I never knew it was that high.
Doesn't that amaze you in a country like the United States
yeah.
that we are in that boat?
Mm-hmm.
It does me. Does me a lot.
I know. You know, it's amazing. You know, what I really hope happens on all this is basically a couple of things. Number one, I hope we start using the internet for what the internet was designed to do. Not all this criticizing and backstabbing yeah. and everything else that's now taken. I hope they start using the internet for the right reason, and some people start to monitor it. And two, I hope we become a little bit more civil as a country. I mean, we're not right now. Let's just say it.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% there. I mean, I told you that I'm in a plan, and I don't watch TV or listen to mm-hmm. the radio. I'm sorry for you guys, but I every once in a while I'll grab you guys. But mm-hmm. it's helped me a lot because I don't have to listen to all of that unnecessary garbage is
right.
out there, and you know, it gives me a little my own perspective of what's going on. And. And a lot of this that's going on is, folks, it's faith-based, man. You gotta believe that there's a God out there that's looking to try to help the best we can and see where we go.
Okay. We have a call here for us. Michael, good morning. How you doing?
Well, I could be doing better. How are you and Don doing?
We're doing great. What's up?
Neither one of you got the virus, huh?
No. Not that I'm aware of. I just had a checkup Wednesday, and everything's... There's an issue I got to take care of, but there is that has nothing to do with the coronavirus.
Excellent. All right. Is it okay to talk some sports?
Yeah, sure. We're just talking. We're sitting here talking. That's all we're doing.
Well, I read in the Kokomo paper where George Gilbert resigned over at Taylor.
I had not seen that. I had not seen that yet.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that either. That's too bad for Taylor.
Yeah. Biggest problem Taylor had is not enough bodies.
He's only been there a year, hadn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I think Taylor had 20 or 21 kids. That was it for football.
Uh-huh. Well, it did say that they've hired a coach that used to be there, and our kids just loved him.
Okay.
So I wonder if that had anything to do with it.
I have no idea. But
you,
I had
you
not.
You guys didn't know about it, huh?
No, I didn't.
So you're telling
well,
me
okay.
that. So are you telling me that the discipline that George brings to his football team wasn't well liked over there? Is that maybe?
That could be an issue over there.
Well, I mean, I think George is a little old school, which is nothing wrong with that. I think kids need to have the old school process a little bit. Life comes
well,
too easy.
Well, I'll tell you what, it sure worked over Tri-Central.
Yeah,
yeah
it sure did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, all right, gentlemen. You take care and stay safe.
All right, you do the same. All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Anybody's got any comments or questions, 659-3338 and 1-800-447-4463. I want to get to basically a little bit of something like Michael was just talking about. If you're Rossville, how do you think your kids feel right now? And you thought you might be able to get it in, and then, you know, I think we're going to play that, and we're going to play that thing we did with Bobby Cox last week and here in a little while. But then, you know, then it comes out this week, the third, that it's canceled.
Yeah.
So what's your thoughts with that?
Well, I think every team that's still in it has to feel disappointed in the process. And with Rossville, I mean, Rossville was in a regional that their first ball game against Wapahani, they were going to play a team that's kind of similar to them. They were a little bit taller, but I'm just telling you that Rossville's aggressiveness and their ability to control the defensive board would have been the big key to the whole process. I think they could have won the first ball game and gotten into an evening game. Now then, the evening game may have included, I think it's Blackford that has
yeah.
Luke Brown, right?
The state leading scorer, yeah.
And that would have been an interesting ball game and to see how that comes out. But because you hope that, you know, both teams are playing, so they're both going to have a little bit of being tired by the time the fourth quarter comes around, and to see who exists or who can finish it out. So, I mean, it was a doable. I think it was doable for Rossville. And in the format that we play now, once you get to the regional, man, you're three games out. I mean, you're three games out, and that's not very many.
You know, everybody's, you know, like for the NCAA tournament, you know, you got to win six. So, and for high school, it could be, you know, six, seven, or depending on the draw you get.
Right.
So.
Short season, but it's pretty intense.
And, you know, and the old saying goes, it's win or go home. But then again, at the same time, it's something that you live for,
yeah,
particularly in this state.
Well, you know, going into the regional tournament, my only concern that I get, and I guess this is my opinion, not that of the WILO studio, is that do the kids just get satisfied winning a sectional, and are they still as hungry to win a regional as they are a sectional? Because sectionals seems to be a pretty important thing, and you know, that's something that I don't know if it can be measured. I don't know if coaches, probably maybe coaches can feel that. I always, before a tournament game, would go to the coach and ask them how was practice this week, and you know, in Rossville's case, he said, man, he said, I knew we were going to do well because we had two walkthroughs for the championship game, and there were a lot of questions. The kids were asking a lot of questions about this, about that, what do we do here? So he said, I felt pretty well that we were coming here to play hard, and they did. And so you just hope that would go on because, man, like I say, you're three games out from being a state champion.
That's right. During the this year, I know football season wasn't quite as good as we'd like to. You can almost forget about it. But I was going to say, during basketball, has there been any moments or games that have stood out in your mind this year more so than usual?
Yeah, I have a couple. I have a Rossville Tri-Central game that I thought that was going to be a pretty good basketball game, that Rossville came and they were locked and loaded. And that was the ball game that both Douglas and Cornell was, man, they were so aggressive. They were taking Tri-Central out of their offense as soon as they hit the 10-second line. And so when I watched that, I thought, man, this team is really going to come about and be a dominant force coming down the home stretch. They had their issues coming down, as most teams do. But that ball game, I thought, really opened it up wide for Rossville. Also, the ball game right after Christmas, when the Hot Dogs went and traveled to Twin Lakes. Twin Lakes, a pretty good basketball team at that time, and the Dogs just throttled them. I mean, I think they scored like 18 three-pointers in the first quarter.
I think they had 29 points after a quarter too.
It was unbelievable, and they were sharing the basketball. Everybody was hitting, and I'm thinking, this is their coming out party. This is their way to get rolling. And then they play Northwestern the next night. Northwestern, can't think of the gentleman that they had, who was a pretty good basketball player on that team, kind of dominated that game, and so it kind of took the rubbing that you get off of Friday night's game, right? Saturday. But those two games I thought were breaking out, coming out parties for both of these teams that I thought, I didn't think that Frankfort was, you know, a big-time winning basketball team, but I thought that was the game that was going to turn their whole program around, and we talked about it when they came in here before the sectional, because I just found it to be a game that, man, I mean, Coach Van Dyne was coaching well and calling timeouts properly and at good times and getting people in and out of the ball game at a good time, and everything was just moving along really, really well, and I thought maybe that after Christmas break they were ready, but of course that kind of went by the side on Southland.
You know, the thing is with Frankfurt's schedule the way it is, especially when you get in the conference, they're not in a situation where they can go ahead and quote unquote have an easy game, because all their schedule is basically such. I mean, you got to play almost lights out every night. Mm-hmm. Where some of these conferences in a little bit lesser areas can go ahead and have a night, a quote night off unquote, to where they don't have to play their best and they can still win.
Right. You're right. The Sagamore Conference is a pretty good conference in both football and basketball for Frankfort. And we go back a few years, man, we were dominant in the conference and in basketball, especially in football under Burpo and under Colby. Mm-hmm. That all changed. I mean, I'll tell you, those two guys brought a whole new atmosphere to the sports program at Frankfort. It started with Kevin Wright 1 year, and then Vince Burpo had three, and then Brett Colby. And they brought in an atmosphere of winning, and it caught fire. I mean, I can tell you that a conversation I had with Marty Eckelbarger when I had the laundromat on a Saturday made him mad, because I said, man, you got to hope that the football team has a successful year, because if they do, it's going to make your basketball team successful. And he didn't like that. But in December, he came back and apologized and said, man, you were so right. Well, in my day, football didn't make a difference about basketball. It was all about basketball. But Vince Burpo and Brett Colby brought a different program atmosphere to the school, and football now became a pretty dominant sport. And a lot of people didn't like playing us because of the physicality that these guys injected into the program. Mm-hmm. And then that moved into the basketball. So.
Yep. And also success in football, especially when you have a lot of the same kids playing basketball, it rubs off too.
It does. Winning is
contagious.
A big thing. It's right.
It's contagious.
And so is losing, because
right.
You forget how to win. And so, you know, there were a lot of ball games that we broadcast for Frankfort that they had opportunities coming down the home stretch, but that sense of not knowing how to finish because you haven't been winning, you just roll back. So something bad happens, you go, here we go. Here
yeah.
it is.
Yeah. Here we go, back to square one. I need to take a break here real quick. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agents, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis.
State Farm agents are one of a kind. They understand insurance and share a genuine concern for others. State Farm agent Susan Casper works very hard every day to help people find the right products for their insurance and financial needs. From homeowners and renters to retirement planning, please call Susan Casper today to talk about which products are best for you. Get to a better state. State Farm.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it. Right at your fingertips, we have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and WILO TV archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representative. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
WILO wants to hear from you. Let us know your opinion by sending us an email. We now have a sound-off page at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Just go to the community page and click on Sound Off to submit your opinion. We've made it easy for you to sound off on the local issues important to you. You can also submit by emailing your opinion to newsroom@casperradio.com. Let us know what's on your mind. One more way we're keeping you connected. WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I like things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I do the same things over and over, until one day I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agents Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. We're being joined today by our person who does all of our sports, basically, Don Stock. Don, even though there's not a lot of sports going on right now, we're still having it's still we're talking about what's happened this year and what's going to happen, maybe.
I think that for the most part, the thing that you look at now is, you know, but we talked about how sad it is that the kids didn't get a finish, the guys didn't get a finish their basketball tournament. But let's talk about the spring sports people.
That was my next place. So
I mean, you've got some teams out there. Frankfurt's baseball team's pretty good, and it looks like there's not going to be any school. So I'm guessing that there'll be no athletics either. And so you're a senior and you've worked hard, and this is your senior year, and you believe, if you're on the Frankfurt baseball team or any high school baseball team, that hey, this is our year. I'm a senior. Nope. You're not going to even get a play.
Well, you know, the one thing that I think helps over here, because coming from Illinois as I have, they wanted to have all their state tournaments wrapped up while kids were still in school. So, I mean, we were starting our state tournaments in early May.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, but over here, this might be a blessing because they don't basically state tournaments and all the postseason doesn't start till late May, early June, and then they have state tournaments going on throughout the summer. So that could still help them. But I don't know. I really just question even if they can get going by May, and then have the amount of practices and games to at least try to qualify for anything. That's what I would question right now.
Well, I think that the biggest concern that you have is nobody knows the end. Nobody knows the end of this. What makes everything, I guess you could say, as we say, go back to normal?
Mm-hmm.
How's that going to come together? So, you know, even if they have a grip on it and it's still out there, are they still going to enforce, hey, you know, no baseball, no, you know, I don't know. I think that's the big question mark.
And then also, you know, and the other thing is that even though, say, it does go back to normal, what, quote, is normal?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, because that's something we don't know that right now either.
I kind of threw that out at the, we had a department head meeting yesterday. I kind of threw that out at the boys. At the police and fire department, you know, hey, so, you know, they're talking about wiping down all their mm-hmm. weightlifting equipment after everybody uses it. Like, are we going to continue that when this thing's over, or do we just go back the way it always was because it's easier to do that?
Yeah. I don't know. It's a strange situation right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've not been through it. I mean,
yeah.
I know we talk about all the other viruses that have come through, but I don't think we've had anything to this tune. And
I can't remember anything like this at all.
No, I can't. But, you know, I thought about this coming here today when on my way here, and they talk about, you know, you can't go here, you can't do that, and the fact that families are working from home. Well, man, when I was a young kid, my mom and dad worked from home. I mean, we had laundromats, but when we went to laundromat to work, but my dad was also a plumber, and he worked from home, and so I guess that maybe we've reverted back to how it kind of used to be in the olden days. But I think that the challenge that you have is that you're forcing families to be families, and it's not going very well because
and you
had that mass separation.
And plus, you're also forcing the people to communicate in a way they're not used to communicating.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, I've said it for a long time, you know. I was always waiting for the first text to be born as a baby to anybody, you know, just because that's all people do. That's the only way they know what people are, what they're doing. So is text.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, earlier we were talking off air about all the cancellations in the country. I mean, we're talking about the Masters maybe being held in October. We're talking about the Kentucky Derby going to September. I wouldn't bet right now that the Indy 500 would run, even though it doesn't run until I think the 24th of May is what I think the date is.
That's precise.
What I'm still kind of concerned about is the fact the Olympics are still on. And I would think that'd be the one above anything else that probably needs to cancel.
There's no doubt. And you got to figure that that's going to happen. But, you know, how about Tokyo that's sitting over there and spent all that money getting ready for it? Of course, it's not that it's going to go away. It's going to be, a year? They're talking about maybe postponing it a year. And which, in my viewpoint, makes sense. But I'll tell you, the biggest disappointment of cancellations has to be the National Spelling Bee. I mean, that has to be your biggest disappointment.
Knowing how much of a baseball fan you are and everything, what's your thoughts on the fact that Major League Baseball may not stay? They pushed out at least to mid-May. I don't know if that's even feasible now.
I don't think that's. I mean, they're talking that they canceled about the last 3 weeks of spring training, and for every day you're out, you've got to take another day to get ready. And so let's say May comes along, they go, hey, we're going to start up. That's going to make it probably June. And so you're going through a shortened season again.
Mm-hmm.
Goes back to when they had the strike year.
Yeah.
And so then you look at it and you say, okay, do we not have the All-Star game because there's 7 to 10 days there that we could be playing baseball in and not have off, because there's no reason to be off because you're not starting until probably the middle of June or so. I don't know. In my gut's starting to say that there probably won't be baseball. My gut's that feeling that way.
You know, and I keep hearing Adam Silver from the NBA saying, "Well, we can still be playing in late June or June and July," and I'm like, "And who cares?"
Yeah. I think that, as anything else, the more we go along without having something that we don't have, that when it comes back, it may not be missed. And so it comes to the point as, does that doom trouble for professional sports coming down the line? Probably not. Eventually, everybody's going to come work their way back. But, you know, there's still going to be skepticism and people being nervous about sitting beside somebody that may be carrying the virus that you don't know. And, of course, maybe by that time everybody will be tested, too. I don't know how it's all going to work out. But in sport-wise, you know, what NFL is saying, well, we're playing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe.
They think they are.
Yeah.
So this is something I've kind of thought about. I don't know if you've thought about this or not, but I really wonder how many teams this will force owners to say, this ain't worth it anymore. We're going to have to either sell the team, relocate, or just, you know, because I've thought for years I think all four of the pro sports need to lose about four teams, personally. That's what I've always thought for several years now. And I just wonder if this will be the year that's where that happens.
Well, that's a great question, because I think one of the questions not being answered, it's now starting to be discussed, is the economics of this challenge that we have right now. And unfortunately, there's going to be a lot of businesses that go out that won't come back. And is our sports, I think you got to be concerned about the Tampa Bays or the organizations that are struggling financially now. You know, how are they meeting the bills right now? Because I'm guessing that the players are still getting paid.
Yep, they will get paid.
So without the income coming in, that'll be, of course, you got to remember though, like, I'm a season ticket holder with the Cubs. I'm all paid in. They have all my money, and I'm not the only season ticket holder for the Chicago Cubs. So they're sitting on a bunch.
Yeah.
But not enough to pay the multi-million dollars that they're expecting.
One more thing I do want to ask you, and this is something I've heard more conversation about this. One of the rule changes for baseball is, we'll say it does get played this year, is a three-batter minimum that everybody has to, any pitcher now has to face. What's your thoughts with that?
I like it because it's a strategy thing. So it's not, you know, okay, so I'm going to throw a left-hander, you're going to put a right-hander in there, and so, you know, you can't change your pitcher until he's pitched right now, but now you're going to do three. I think it's a great thing. One, it'll speed up baseball a little bit, but it's also, now when you make up your lineup, are you going to make up your lineup knowing that as we approach the end of the ball game, left right may be the way to go, because then how are you going to change your pitchers? You're going to throw a pitcher that's eventually, you're going to have one or two batters that should be okay in the size or the way you're pitching. So I like it.
You know, it looks like they could probably, you know, maybe expand their rosters. I mean, they're going to think they're going to 26, yep. I think, this year. And then what I'm saying is, what I mean by expand their roster for later, if you have extra inning games, you're going, oh, gee, I got all these people available. I don't have the situation involved. So,
well, I think it comes down to the manager and saying, okay, do I want that extra bullpen guy sitting out there, or do I want that extra bat sitting on the bench?
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever you're throwing strategy into a sports, I think it's always a good thing. When you threw in the designated hitter, even though it was maybe a good thing for sports because it proved offensively, everybody likes offense, but it takes out the strategy of pitching. So,
and it did prolong a couple careers, I can think of.
And it will probably continue to do that. I mean, look at Schwarber, I mean, on the Cubs. Yeah. Everybody's saying, man, he's a pure DH guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Don, anything else you want to add before I let you go?
No, I appreciate you coming on. Let me know when I can be of assistance.
Hey, anytime you want to come on down, just let me know.
All right.
So, Don, thanks much. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break right now. We got an interview with Bobby Cox from a week ago. We're going to play here shortly. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis.